Life, Charles Swindoll tells the true story of a man who entered a fried chicken fast food restaurant late one afternoon. The man proceeded to buy a couple of chicken dinners for himself and his date. But accidentally, the attendant at the fast food restaurant gave the man a box container filled with money instead of chicken. The money was the proceeds from that day's sales. After driving to their picnic site, the man and his date sat down to enjoy some chicken. But instead of fried chicken, they discovered that there was more than $1,000 sitting in one of the food box containers. So the man and his date got right in the car and drove back to the restaurant. By this point, as you can imagine, the manager was in a state of panic. He and his staff had no idea where the money had gone. So the guy entered the fast food restaurant and he asked to speak with the manager. He said, "Almost an hour ago, I came in here to buy a couple of dinners, but I wound up with all this money instead." The manager was thrilled with the man's honesty. He said, "Let me call the media. I'm going to make sure your picture is in the local paper and that the story of your honesty is all over the internet. You're absolutely the most honest person I've ever met." Surprisingly, the man looked rather uncomfortable at the thought of having his picture in the paper and his name all over the internet. He said, "Please, there's no need to put my name out there. I really don't need the attention." And then the man leaned a little closer to the manager and he whispered, "You see, the woman I'm with, she's another man's wife." Well, after telling this story, Charles Swindoll points out that it's possible for a person to be honest in some areas of life, yet still lack integrity. And as we continue our journey through the Ten Commandments, today we come to the seventh commandment, which deals with integrity and faithfulness in marriage. And I want to tell you and share with you this morning, this commandment, as the other commandments, goes beyond the meaning on the surface. It really points to integrity and faithfulness in keeping all of our commitments and in living to our convictions. The seventh commandment simply says, "You shall not commit adultery." Several years ago, Ted Turner, the founder of the CNN broadcasting empire, attempted to rewrite the Ten Commandments. He criticized the original ten for being old and too restrictive. While Turner's actions seem kind of bold, today we see entire church denominations attempting to change the teaching of Scripture. Nowhere is this more true than when it comes to the biblical teaching regarding human sexuality. Commandment number 7 deals with God's guidelines for human sexuality. And today we're going to explore the meaning of this commandment and God's purpose in giving it to us. I'm not sure if you've noticed it or not on your sermon outline there, the insert, but I've given this message an unusual title. I've titled this message, "The Sin Everybody Talks About." I want to explain why. Adultery is the sin that creates internet clicks, improves TV and movie ratings, provides material for gossip columnists, and seems to get everyone's attention. When former President Bill Clinton was involved in a sex scandal with a young intern, his approval ratings reached the highest they had during his entire presidency. The culture around us becomes more interested in the Christian church whenever a well-known Christian is found guilty of sexual immorality. So let's begin with a straightforward question. What is adultery? Scripture defines adultery in two different ways. First, Scripture defines it as sexual intimacy involving at least one married person. When Scripture speaks of adultery, it refers to breaking one's marriage vows through voluntary sexual involvement with another person. This is a sense of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, which refers to a man who commits adultery with another man's wife. The primary purpose of commandment number 7 is to protect the sanctity of marriage. I'll say a little bit more on that later. According to Scripture, physical adultery is just one side of the coin. The Bible also speaks of what we might call mental adultery. This is the kind of adultery which doesn't involve physical intimacy, but instead takes place within the mind. And this leads me to a second biblical meaning of adultery. Adultery is sexual lust involving a person's thought life. Last week when we explored the sixth commandment, I pointed out that murder is much more than a physical, external act. Murder begins in the heart when we embrace hatred and contempt toward another human being. In the same way, adultery begins in a person's heart and in their mind. The commandment prohibiting murder is based on the principle of respect for human life and respect for the value and dignity that each person holds in the eyes of God. In a similar way, the commandment prohibiting adultery is based on the principle of respect for another human being and respect for the value of marriage. Throughout his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus expanded our understanding of the Old Testament law, including our understanding of the Ten Commandments. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So Jesus is saying that adultery, like murder, like many other sins, is much more than an external action. It is an issue, ultimately, of the heart and the mind. If we nurture sinful thoughts, eventually our actions will follow. Now, does this mean that mental adultery is the same as physical adultery? Scripture condemns both physical and mental adultery, but there is a distinction. Here's how one author explains it. He said, "Physical adultery breaks the marriage covenant in a way that mental adultery doesn't. Physical adultery is potential grounds for divorce. Mental adultery isn't. Physical adultery defiles your body in a way that mental adultery doesn't. And physical adultery is something many have avoided. Mental adultery is something that no one has totally avoided." Now, this is not to suggest that mental adultery is harmless. After telling us that adultery begins in the heart and in the mind, Jesus followed up his words by saying this. He said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Jesus, of course, is using figurative language to emphasize the seriousness of sin and the importance of keeping our thoughts and our motives pure. According to recent statistics, the pornography industry in North America is worth much more than $14 billion a year, and a porn movie is produced every 39 minutes. Keep in mind, this is just in North America. A few years back, the Family Research Council released the results of a study exploring the effects of pornography on marriages, children, and individuals. Using court documents, the study noted that 56% of divorce cases involved one spouse having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. 68% of divorce cases involved one spouse becoming involved in an adulterous relationship with someone they met over the internet. Reacting to these and other issues uncovered by the study, Dr. Pat Fagan of the Research Council said the following. He said, "The fact that marriage rates are steadily dropping is well known, but the impact of pornography use and its correlation to family breakdown has been discussed very little. The data shows that as pornography use increases, the marriage rate drops." Fagan also noted that pornography corrodes the conscience, promotes distrust between husband and wife, and degrades thousands and thousands of young women. His conclusion is that pornography is a quiet family killer. So mental adultery is harmful, as is, of course, physical adultery. And I want to move on now to explore another issue, and that is, why did God give us this commandment? I want to share with you this morning four reasons why this commandment is crucially important. But before I do that, I want to share another story with you. A few years back, Swedish newlyweds Stefan and Erika Svanström left Stockholm to begin their honeymoon. They were on their way to Australia, but soon found themselves stranded in Munich due to one of the worst snowstorms on record. The couple finally arrived in the city of Cairns, Australia, where they barely survived one of the worst cyclones in Australia's history. So they traveled south to the city of Brisbane, but they couldn't stay there because Brisbane was experiencing massive floods. The couple decided that if they were going to have a honeymoon in Australia, they would have to travel across the country to the city of Perth. But in Perth, the couple barely escaped a series of raging forest fires. Desperate, absolutely desperate to have a nice honeymoon, the couple headed back to Christchurch, New Zealand. They arrived just after Christchurch was devastated by a 6.3 magnitude earthquake. They couldn't stay there, obviously, so they headed some distance to Japan. Can you guess what happened next? They arrived in Tokyo, and a couple of days after their arrival, Tokyo experienced Japan's largest earthquake on record. And of course, you may recall, parts of Japan were devastated at that time by the tsunami and nuclear disaster. The newlyweds headed back to Sweden as soon as they possibly could. Now, although their honeymoon was a fiasco, this couple says they are just happy to be together. This Swedish couple survived 6 natural disasters on their honeymoon. Natural disasters cause disruption, destruction, and in the same way, adultery causes destruction. God prohibits adultery because it destroys families and it destroys trust. Let's take a closer look at why God gave us this commandment. First, adultery destroys a sacred trust between two people. In every wedding ceremony that I've witnessed or that I've officiated at, there has been an exchange of wedding rings. And the rings symbolize the commitment that the bride and groom have made to each other, a commitment to be faithful to one another for the rest of their lives. Adultery breaks the bond of trust that holds a marriage together. In Mark chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus spoke about the bond of marriage when he said, "What God has joined together, let man not separate." And in Hebrews 13, 4, the Word of God says, "Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." Adultery is a sin in the eyes of God, partly because it destroys the trust that exists between two people. And when trust is destroyed, we know that it's awfully hard to gain that trust back. There is a second reason for this commandment. Adultery destroys family stability. As I said before, God created marriage and the family as the foundation of society. He designed the family, and he is committed to it. A key principle behind the seventh commandment is the fact that the family is the building block of society, and faithfulness to the covenant of marriage is the foundation of the family unit. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And that phrase, one flesh, has several meanings. It refers to the sexual relationship in marriage and to the fact that marriage involves a spiritual and emotional oneness between two people. Adultery destroys that oneness or that unity that God has created. Let me draw your attention to a third reason behind the seventh commandment. Sexual promiscuity has consequences. Proverbs 6:32 says that a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. He lacks judgment because adultery hurts people. It has serious consequences. Possible consequences range from the loss of one's reputation to sexually transmitted disease to unwanted pregnancy to the betrayal of one's family. Although adultery has consequences, many people in our day and age deny this to be true. Don't need to tell you there are many books on the market which extol the virtues of adultery. There are numerous websites designed exclusively for married people who want to meet other married people to arrange an extramarital affair. A few years back, the Los Angeles Times reported on a new line of greeting cards for couples who were having an extramarital affair. And the LA Times article was titled, "Adulterers Need To." You see, one of the greatest lies of the devil is that sexual promiscuity means freedom and happiness without any attached consequences. Satan is a master, an absolute master at convincing us and convincing people that sin, in whatever form it takes, never has consequences. Here's a fourth reason why God prohibits adultery. The seventh commandment is a reflection of God's faithfulness to his promises. So one of the things we need to keep in mind whenever we're talking about the Ten Commandments is that ultimately they reflect the character and the nature of God. Each of the Ten Commandments has a positive and a negative aspect. I'm not saying God has any negative aspects, but each commandment has a positive side and a negative side. On the negative side, do not break the bond of trust between you and your spouse. And on the positive side, this command calls us to be faithful to our promises. It's a reflection of the very fact that God is faithful. The promises and commitments that we make in all spheres of life, we are to strive to keep as much as possible. To keep our promises and our commitments is to follow the example of our God. It is to reflect his character. Our God is faithful. He does what he has promised to do. Psalm 145, verse 13 says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises." The seventh commandment is a call to emulate the faithfulness of our God. Ann Landers, I'm sure we're familiar with that name, Ann Landers, a famous advice columnist, she once received the following letter from a woman who had been hurt by her husband's infidelity. The letter said this, "Dear Ann, please print this letter for all the women who are having affairs with married men. Most of them believe they are not doing any harm. They say they are only meeting a need for some neglected husband and no one is being hurt. I'd like to set the record straight. Dear other woman, your present lover has probably given you the impression that he is the greatest father in the world. Let me tell you the truth. He missed most of his son's baseball games this year because he was with you. He missed his daughter's dance recital last Tuesday because he was with you. He was with you when his son broke his arm and I had to take the boy to the hospital by myself. I can't tell you the number of family events I have attended without my husband because he supposedly had to stay at work late. He is never around to help with the children's homework because he has supposedly to work late. In case you think he's loaded, the money he spends on you comes out of our children's college fund." You see, this letter illustrates why the seventh commandment was given. It was given in part to protect the family. The question is, how do we keep this commandment? Let me close with three ways we can apply today's message to our lives. First of all, we honor this commandment by guarding our minds and keeping our thoughts pure. Here's a quote to keep in mind. Came across this quote this past week as I was preparing for this message, and it struck me. The quote said, "Your greatest challenge is not the people around you. Your greatest challenge is what's going on inside you." What is transpiring in your inner life, What is transpiring in you spiritually, emotionally, and mentally is the greatest challenge that you and I have to manage. Like any other sin, like any other struggle we have, the battle is fought in the heart and the mind. In Matthew 15:19, Jesus said, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." Purity of heart, purity of mind, begins with what we put inside our mind. God is concerned with what we put into our mind and inside our heart, and this commandment calls us to guard our thought life and to guard our hearts. A second way we honor this commandment is by keeping our promises and our commitments. Well, listen as we read Numbers 30, verse 2. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word but must do everything he said. Now, for those of us who are married, we keep this commandment by honoring the commitments and promises we have made to our spouse. The seventh commandment is a reminder to actively nurture your marriage and maintain the unity of your marriage relationship. A third way we keep this commandment is by guarding and nurturing our relationship with God. In Genesis 39, I read the first 12 verses for you earlier, we saw Joseph, who was serving in the home of Potiphar, the captain of the palace guard. And Potiphar's wife tried day after day to seduce Joseph. But Joseph resisted, and what did he say? He said, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against the Lord?" Joseph understood that sleeping with Potiphar's wife was not just a sin against Potiphar, it was a sin against God himself. Joseph was a man of character and integrity. Character and integrity develop as we nurture our relationship with God, as we become more mature in our faith. As with all the commandments, the seventh commandment was given as a source of blessing. When we walk according to the ways of God, we reap the blessing of strong, healthy relationships and a life that is enriched by the wisdom of God's truth. Please join with me and let us pray. Let's pray together. Father, we again thank you for these commandments. And as I shared this morning, these commandments are not just a list of do's and don'ts. They are a reflection of your holy character. They reflect the fact that you are a holy God, that you are a God of truth, a God who keeps his promises. You are a God who values life because you are the creator of life. And so we thank you for the commandments and in particular for this commandment. Lord, help us to be a people who keep our commitments. Help us to be a people who live with integrity, that we would reflect the very faithfulness of our God. And so we thank you for your truth, and through your Holy Spirit, help us to live it out day by day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.